Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Well, are you ready to dive into the Word this morning? How many just love the Word? The Word of God is our lifeline. And it is the Word that reveals who we are and what our identification is. And so, on the note of this being 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate our freedom, the title of my message today would simply be called, My Name is Free. Say it with me. Say, my name is free. Amen. Your name is free. And so obviously you'll see what that means as we get into the message this morning. But obviously on this holiday weekend, obviously we celebrate the freedoms that we so enjoy as a nation. How many of you understand that in regards to the freedoms that we have, there are freedoms that are quickly being taken from us? And many of those freedoms and liberties that we have are being taken from us in the name of freedom. But really, those freedoms or deceitful or devious freedoms really put us in a place of bondage, right? And so God has called us to be free. And so I want to bring your attention this morning to Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Notice it says there, stand fast. It lets us know that in order for you to stay free or to walk in this freedom, that you're going to have to take a stand. Have you heard that statement that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Yeah. Right? So we have to take a stand for our freedom. In other words, there has to be a standard that says, this is what freedom looks like. This is freedom. This is not. We have to take a stand for freedom. But notice it says this, that as we take this stand, it says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's letting us know that you're free or you have freedom, and your stance is important, but your stance is not just simply a posture, it's really a behavior. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But he says to stand in this freedom, and if you don't stand in the posture of your freedom, he says you could easily slip back into a place of bondage. Now notice what it says over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for you, brethren. So when it says brethren, you understand that God's talking to the people of God. So this is not applicable to everybody. This is for the people of God. It is concerning his kids, his church. He says, for you, brethren, have been called. Everybody say called. You have been called to liberty or to freedom. Only do not use your liberality or your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I find that interesting that the Bible says you and I have been called to liberty or have been called to freedom. Now, here's the thing about the scripture, that we know that the scripture was written in Greek and Hebrew, right? And so in that language, there is so much expansion of definition concerning words that many times when we read things, we see it just as a surface thing and we don't get the gravity or the depth of what God is really trying to instill to us. So that word that says you're called, listen to what it's defined or how it's defined. That word call is to call aloud or utter in a loud voice. So in other words, when God called you to freedom and liberty, he did not do it quietly. He didn't say, hey, you're free. He didn't do it from the back closet or in the back room or down the road. He said it loud enough so that you could hear, hey, you're free. And if you didn't hear it, he can say it even louder. God's calling us with a loud voice saying that we are free. That word call also is defined as this, is to give a name to. So in other words, freedom and liberty is what God has named you or called you. So not only have you been given a birth name, you also have a name that's called free. Amen. I'm free. So somebody could say, how you doing? What's your name? I'm free. You're what? I'm free. You're free? Yes, I am free. Amen. You need to look in your mirror and tell yourself, I'm free. I'm free. You know, that's why God changed Abram's name to Abraham, because Abraham was defined as father of many nations. Praise God. So when you feel like you're just stuck in a rut, you just need to talk to yourself and say, hey, listen, your name is free. Amen. So God called you gave you a name. The third part is, it says, he calls you by that name. So in other words, when God speaks to you, he speaks to you in terms of not through the stuff that you're going through or the things you're struggling with. He calls you free. So when he calls my name, he also calls me free. Come on, is that helping anybody? Again, it goes to the idea of how God sees us and what he made available and provided for us. He calls us by that name and he calls us free. And the last part of that definition is this, is to salute one by name. So in other words, you having a position of freedom must carry a position of clout and authority and weight. Because when somebody sees you in the kingdom of God, whoo-hoo, I'm free. Come on. Your freedom has placed you in a rank and a position where people and the kingdom of God has to salute you. Amen. So this isn't no light thing. This isn't no little thing. This is a big thing with God. God has called us to freedom and liberty. Now in Romans chapter 11 verse 29, notice what it says. In the King James, it says that the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. In the Amplified, it says this, for God's gifts, plural, and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So now, this call isn't just for isolated, specific, special people. Every single person God has called. And what did he call you? We just saw that the scripture says he calls you free. Now, when he calls you free, he also says there are gifts that come with this freedom. Amen. So in other words, he calls me free, I am free, but then he's also endowed me with some gifts. And therefore, my gifts isn't just one little special trick that I can do. No, he says he gives me gifts, amen, that accompany my freedom. Praise God. Aren't you glad? So you're not just a one-trick pony. Man, God's given you some good stuff on the inside. You know, I've been talking with my children just in regards to their future and God's plan for their life. And I told my one daughter specifically, we were having a conversation. She's given to music and just, she has a desire to pursue music for just the call of God on her life. But she's also extremely artistic and can draw really well. I was a good drawer when I was a kid. And I stopped when I was in high school because I thought, well, unless you go to work for Disney, how in the world can you make any money drawing pictures? And so I just stopped and I didn't pursue my gift. I didn't pursue that which what talent that I had. And I told her, I said, listen, you don't have to just go down one lane. I said, God has put gifts in you, and God can use those gifts to build the kingdom of God. And he'll use those gifts to help other people become free. Amen. So again, utilize those gifts, and those gifts are anointings, and it all accompanies the call on your life. What is that call? That call is for you and I to be free. Now notice it says what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Once again, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. I made reference to this already, but once again, notice what it says. Don't use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. So God has called you to be free. And therefore, he's saying, be careful, because you might, if you don't guard your freedom, you can slip back into a position or place of bondage. Did you hear what I said earlier, that in regards to freedom, when it comes to the flesh, how many of you know that the flesh will lie to you concerning freedom? Well, you know, I'm free in God, so therefore I can do this and I can do that. And really, it's a slippery slope that's taking you into a position of being bound up again. Amen? I was listening to Jesse Duplantis just recently. It just cracked me up. If you ever watched his ministry or listened to him, he's hilarious. But he made mention of when he was saved or born again, he said he was instantly delivered from alcohol. He was saying that, you know, he used to drink like a fish when he was not saved or not walking with Jesus. He said, but when he got saved, he said, I was instantly delivered. And he said, and I've been in ministry for a number of years. And he said, we went to this restaurant. And he said, man, I was thirsty. And he said, I told the lady I want some water. And she didn't hear what I said. She misunderstood what I said to her. And she brought me something out. And he said, I looked at it. And he said, it looked a little different. But I said, I didn't know. So he said, I started to take a drink of that. And he said, when I took a drink of that, he's like, he realized that it was not water. He realized that it was an alcoholic drink. And he's like, as he said, his wife was like, spit it out. Spit that out right now. And he's like, where do I? And he said, he finally just got rid of it. He said, but after he spit it out, he said, I'm like, he said, I could taste that. He said, I could taste that in my mouth for weeks on end. He said, I'd be up preaching and I'd be like, what's my point? Is that your flesh can remember times when you were bound, but the lie of the enemy can say, hey, listen, that's really, you're free. Come on. It's a slippery slope. Can somebody say amen? So once again, don't use your liberality to fall back into a place of bondage. But let me ask you the question. Have you ever noticed that the devil does not just jump out and say, it's time to give in to the flesh? No. The devil is so subtle that he will cause you to think and ponder, and he'll take you by the hand on this journey, little by little by little by little. And what's the effort? It is to get you into a position or a place of bondage. Amen? I said, it's a slippery slope that the enemy is endeavoring to take you on. But now, the devil also has to tiptoe around you, because he knows that when you receive Christ into your life, that God pronounced for eternity and to everyone that has ear to hear, this man, this woman, their name has been changed, and I call them free. Amen. So what's the enemy have to do? He has to tiptoe around you. So when God cries out with a loud voice and he utters your name and says that you're free, what's the devil do? He comes with a whisper. And he starts to talk to you in the small voices in the midnight hour and starts to talk to you about the things that once were a thing. And little by little, he gets you to think about those. He doesn't come with the loud voice. The Bible says that God gave us a name. Well, what's the devil try to do? He comes tiptoeing around and he tries to put a label on you. And hopefully, even though you've been named by God, that he called you free, maybe the label will stick. And maybe the label is that you were always an alcoholic. You'll always be an addict. You'll always be this or you'll always be that. And if you'll believe the label, then he can get you out of a position of freedom. God himself, he calls you by that name. He calls you free. And what's the devil do? He reminds you of what was. Yeah, God calls you free, but you know. You know. Amen. You know. Come on, you ever heard about the parrot? The husband and wife? You never heard that joke? Oh, that's a good joke. Let me tell you, it's about the only joke I can tell. This husband and wife, they go into the pet store. And they go by this parrot sitting on its perch. And this parrot starts making rude remarks to this man's wife. And just talking so unbecoming. And just talking just terrible to this woman. And so they go to the owner of the pet shop and said, you know, your bird over here just insulting my wife. I cannot believe, never heard somebody talk so rudely to my wife. And he said that the pet owner goes over to the parrot, grabs it up, slaps it upside the head and says, I told you to not talk rude to my customers. And they said, well, I took care of that parrot. And the husband and wife said, well, thank you. And so as they go through the pet store and they begin to leave, they start to go through the exit door where the parrot says, or where the parrot is standing there. And the parrot says to the woman, he says, hey. She says, what? He says, you know. Man, did I really bomb that joke? Oh, geez. See, I don't plan these things, so I don't work up to it, you know? So, I got to stop telling jokes on. Well, see, I said to you that the devil will try to say, you know, even though he's not telling you verbatim. He'll say, you remember, right? Well, what's God doing? He's saying, I want you to know. I mean, I'll never recover from the whole service from a bad joke. He says that you're called freedom. Amen. Once again, I said that the devil has to tiptoe around you, that when it demands that whoever comes into your presence salutes your freedom, the devil will try to get you to bow to the temptations of life. Amen. Who are you? God has called you free. Amen. And as I said, it's a slippery slope. Have you ever noticed or have you ever seen the example where when it comes to a frog, if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, what's the frog do? It jumps out. But if you put a frog in a pot of water and begin to boil it slowly, what's the frog do? He stays in there until he's boiled. That's right, frog legs. Come on, that's good stuff right there. So once again, when it comes to this position of freedom, the enemy tries to get you into a position where there is a slow boil on your life to where you'll go from a position of liberty to a position and a place of bondage. Amen. And what is that place of bondage? That place of bondage is walking away from a place of freedom. When freedom is about you and for you, but a place of bondage comes to a place where all you can see is you. Amen. See, God made your freedom all about you, but when you live in a position of bondage, you make it all about you. Does that make sense? So let me give you an example. There's times that we struggle with stress. Why do we struggle with stress? Because we make it about us. Right? When we're struggling with anxiety, why do we get so anxious? Because we're making it all about us. You say, well, I've got problems. That's why I'm anxious. Well, yeah. You're saying God's not big enough to take care of your problem. It's about you. Well, no, it's the problem's in my family. No, listen, you just said it's my family. No, God is big enough to take care of the problems in your family, to work things out. Don't let it pull you out of a place of freedom and get you into a position of anxiety. What about depression? Why do we carry depression? Why do we get into that rut of depression? Because we make it all about us. Boy, you just don't know how bad I'm feeling. You don't know how anxious I am. I can't sleep. You don't know my emotions. You don't know my stomach is just a nuts. Oh, it's me, right? And God says, it's not about you. Your freedom has been for you. And therefore, walk in this freedom that I've called you to. Stand up. And let it salute you rather than you bowing to everything in your life and therefore simply making it about you. Is that helping anybody? What about sickness and disease? The doctor gives you a bad report. Well, why do you go squalling and bawling and telling everybody that has an ear, oh, this is what the doctor told me? Why? It's because you have come from a place of being free over into a place of bondage and saying, this is what they said. This is what they called me. They called me sick. No, you have been called free. And so my sickness becomes all about me. What about money? The financial problems, the stresses. Why do we struggle with money? Because we make it all about us. Oh, I can't tithe, Pastor. It's too hard. I don't have enough. Well, why? Because you've made it all about you. Amen. Well, I'll move right on from there. We won't hang out there very long. All right. What's my point? My point is that God's called you free. And therefore, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if God says, give me the tithe, therefore, if you'll give me the tithe, I'll pour out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. Therefore, when you tithe, your tithe has to salute you and say, praise God, the blessings are on the way. But no, because we get into fear and anxiety, we say, I can't. And therefore, we come into a position and place of bondage. Amen. That was worth the price of admission right there. Praise God. Amen. God has called us to be free. Amen. And so therefore the enemy is, like I said, trying to get us into a slow boil. But God has called you. Your name is free. But now let's look at God for a moment. Because the Bible says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son so that you could be free. But what was the motivation? It was love. So love is the motivation behind freedom. I said love is the motivation behind freedom. The Bible says that that Jesus endured the cross with joy. Oh, dear God. I mean, didn't you read it in John's gospel? Jesus was boo-hooing and squalling and bawling. This cross, I can't believe I got to go to the cross. My Father's making me go here. I don't want to do it. Can't Peter do it for me? I don't really like Matthew. Matthew, you do it. No. The Bible says that he endured the cross with joy. Why? Because he knew what was on the other end of it. Your freedom and mine. Amen. So once again, why could he endure the cross of what was to come? Because of his love for us. Love is the motivating factor behind freedom. It's God's agenda for us to be free. And therefore, our freedom, my name, my identity, has always been God's agenda. His agenda is so that we could be free from sin. His agenda is that we could be free from death. If you're free from death, what else do you have to be afraid of? Nothing. Praise God. What did Jesus say? He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. He said, the reason that I came, my motivation, my actions, was not to be served, but to serve, or in other words, to love people. That was his heart, right? So if his heart or his action was to love us to the point of freedom, what do you think it will do for us? If his love in action produced freedom for us, what do you think it will do for other people? In fact, for that matter, what do you think it will do for us? It will keep us free. If we'll purpose to walk in love, it will keep us in a position of freedom rather than slipping into bondage. Let me bring to your attention once again in regards to the scripture. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Now this is the scripture that's tagged onto verse 13 and 14, which we just read. It says that he has called us to a position of liberty. He says, don't use this liberty to go back to the flesh. And then in verse 15, it says this, for all the law is fulfilled. Everybody say fulfilled. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, if he called you free, called you into a position of liberty, said don't go back to a position of bondage, then what he tagged on to the end is what causes it to stay concreted in your life. And that is that you love others. That you love your neighbor. That you love people. Amen. You know, we look at people that are entrepreneurs that have done well in their life. They've been successful. They have money. They have success. And you think, well, geez, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, then we excuse it away and say, well, you know, they probably were born with it. Somebody kind of gave it to them, whatever. But do you realize that the very heart of entrepreneurship, if that's a word, is all about serving people? In other words, if I'll serve people with a need that needs to be fulfilled, if people need something and I find out what they need, and if I serve the need, then people will want my product. And as they want my product, what does it do? It produces revenue. So at the very heart of success of entrepreneurship, it is the heart of serving people. Does that make sense? But oftentimes, too many of us are always serving self. It's about me. It's about me. And God says, if you want to be free, serve and love others. If you want it to be free, serve and love others. So let me ask you this question. Did you see the power of the statement that we just read? It said this, the law is fulfilled in this one thing. Love your neighbor. So what's the law? The law is that you have to be sick. That you have to be enslaved. That you have to be impoverished. That you have to be under. But God said that because of Jesus, love in action, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So you are called free. You are called healed. You are called delivered. You are called protected. You are called provided for. But how much of the people of God, the church, lives a life full of bondage concerning sickness, lives a life full of bondage concerning debt and lack? How many people in the body of Christ live a life in subjection to the world system simply because they have lived life entirely for self? But God said this, I've called you free, but this is how it's fulfilled. Love people. Love people. Love people. Woo! Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's not always easy. But he said, this is the ticket. Love people. I said, love people. Let me ask you, if you love people, don't raise your hand. Just smile at me. But when's the last time you led somebody to Jesus? Because Jesus was all about rescuing people from hell. Everything he came to do was the expression of love so that people could totally be free. If we're so busy that we're never mindful of people that are around us dying and going to hell, then I would question, to what degree are we living for self or living to serve? Are we really living life under bondage, or are we truly free? Every single one of us are called to be free. Here's my prayer, is that in this season of 2023, that God begins to birth something in our hearts. That we're so in love with Jesus that we can't help but love people. When we've been too busy to go to church because, well, I'm just busy. But the love of the Father constrains us to where I want to be in the house of God and I want to bring people with me. I'm telling you what, this is when we're going to truly experience freedom. Amen. As we close today, I want to partake of communion together to just bring this to a close. So if you will, why don't you stand with me? There was the communion elements that were on the table as you entered in. If you didn't grab one, just raise your hand and our ushers will serve you with one. Can you get me mine, please? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Just as they're passing them out, just to give you a heads up, do the little flimsy first, where the little biscuit is, and then do the cup part second. It's very difficult if you do it the opposite. Now listen to me. I'm not going to prolong communion this morning. We think that we have to have this long, drawn-out conversation about communion so everybody's heart's in the right place, everybody's taking it right, and everybody's real somber before the Lord. Listen, if what Jesus did for us is real, then it ought to be something that's real easy to step into. Amen. This that we celebrate right now is the representation of how much God loved us so that we could be called free. So listen, on this 4th of July weekend, as we partake of communion, let it remind you that your name is free and that God has called you free. And therefore, this bread that we have in our hand, he said, do it as often as you eat in remembrance. My body was broken for you. Your body is free. Your mind is free because he called you free and allowed himself to take the punishment. Let's break and partake together. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the bread, which is your body. Thank you for breaking your body for us. So, Father, we call our bodies whole. We call our minds free. We thank you that anxiety, depression, lack, the curse has been broken. And therefore, spiritually, mentally, financially, physically, we are whole. And our freedom has to salute us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lastly, he said, this is the cup of my blood of the new covenant that I make with you. This seals the deal. So therefore, everything that God gave you freedom in and for, this was the final payment. And it says that the blood of Jesus still is on the mercy seat before the Heavenly Father. So every single day when you think you've messed up, God's seeing the blood on the mercy seat and he's calling you free, free, free. You're free in Jesus' name. Let's partake together in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood that it has made us in right standing. We are righteous before you and we give you thanks. And we thank you that on this weekend, we celebrate the freedom and we continue to walk in that. And we thank you that everything has to surrender to who you've called us to be. Help us walk in love. Help us see people like you see them. And help us begin to set new priorities because we know how much you love us. And we give you praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.